Welcome to Practice Care with Carl White, the podcast where we help practice owners in healthcare know just enough about the business side to make good business decisions and keep their practices independent. Now our host, Carl.
Getting referrals from other patients is critical to the success of any local practice. Are you really getting as many referrals as you can? Well, my guest today has built a system to make sure she can say she does, and she's going to give us some insights into her system on this episode. I'm Carl White, principal at Mark Advisory Group, which is a healthcare marketing agency, and I'm also the host of Practice Care. The mission for both is the same, and that's to help private practice owners stay private. It's usually what they want, but care is better when it's the providers of care who own the practice, because then we can rest assured that any decision that's got to get made, clinical, business, whatever it might be, is made by those who also have to care for patients, so we can feel really confident that the needs of patients are always top of mind. My guest today is Mary Lou Savino. Mary Lou has been practicing physical therapy since 1992 and opened BFIT PT and Pilates in 2008. She specializes in the use of Pilates as therapeutic exercise and rehab, with an eclectic approach to incorporating Pilates, dry needling, light therapy, and wellness modalities into treatments. Mary Lou has always been a fitness and health enthusiast, so her concept behind this integrated model was to be able to go beyond traditional PT and utilize things like light therapy, dry needling, Pilates, and core strengthening and massage therapies to be a more well-rounded practice and to be able to take PT to the next level. Mary Lou, you're busy. Thanks for coming on Practice Care. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is a neat topic. Turning anything into a system is a rare move, so I'm very curious about how you've done this and what's going on. But before we get into that, same question I ask every guest for the first time. That was a short bio, but that's what I asked for. So tell us more about you, the practice. Help us get to know you a bit better.
Sure. So I actually started out in 1992. I'm actually a physical therapist assistant. I was actually a travel agent before that for about
really?
4 years. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to follow up on that one, but keep going.
Yeah. I did corporate travel. I did not do any vacation travel, but I was also already into fitness quite a bit. So while I was doing that, I got curious. I got more into fitness. I needed a place to exercise. I didn't have any money. I started teaching exercise classes. This was essentially before there were lots of all these certifications around. But from that, I was working at, it was a Chicago health club. And after work, I would go there and teach some classes. But it was there that I saw a girl with physical therapy books. And I was like, physical and medicine. I think that's kind of the direction I want to go. So I actually went back to school and got my degree, but I continued with my fitness background as well. So I worked actually in a hospital setting for about 14 years, but we did everything at that time. So we did inpatient, we did outpatient, we did acute care, we did stroke rehab, we did orthopedics, we did whirlpools, we did pool therapy, warm water pool therapy. We really did a lot of different things in that system. And that was before things were so separated. At some point they did separate inpatient and outpatient services, but we always had to rotate through. And basically from there, I really started branching out, working at other places just to see what they were like. I worked at a rehabilitation center. I did home health. I did vent dependent. I worked at other outpatient places, but I always still worked within a fitness realm as well, teaching, you know, either personal training or fitness classes. And it was really in about, I think, 99 or 2000 that I found Pilates. And it actually came as a continuing education course here to the Chicagoland area. And when I took that continuing education class, it really opened my mind to how much Pilates was rehabilitation. It was very much about stability over mobility. It was about all the concepts that we work with in physical therapy. And I thought, wow, this would really be great to put together with physical therapy. I can really see how this would benefit people. And at that time, the hospital setting I worked at in the outpatient center had a wellness center. They were bringing in Pilates classes.
Okay.
But what was happening is it was so new and nobody knew what they were doing in terms of the students taking the classes that they would injure themselves. they'd come in for physical therapy and they would send them to me because they're like, well, you're the only one that knows anything about Pilates. We don't know what to do with them. They want to keep doing it. And I worked on modification, how to break down the mat exercises and then build them back up again so that they could properly do them with while engaging the core the way they're supposed to and moving the way they're supposed to. And that was really the basis of the idea of blending Pilates with physical therapy. So through the years, I knew I really wanted a more blended or more integrated physical therapy center because I wanted both the fitness and the wellness and the maintenance part of it, because basically they get to be 85% better and then boom, you're discharged, go figure it out. Yeah. And I thought, well, why aren't we doing this in physical therapy? We're the movement experts, right? This really should be along with what we do. So I pretty much kept, I just saved my money, basically. Mm-hmm. I got in touch with Cross Country Education, who I said, well, how do you get to be, you know, a course instructor for something like this? And we talked, they told me what I needed to do. I needed to write the brochure. I needed to write the manual. I had to have, you know, these requirements in it, especially like the different studies backing it up. So I did that. And then while I was working my two other jobs, I started teaching for them Pilates for rehabilitation, physical therapy.
Do you sleep in this time period? Do you eat?
I did. No, I had two little kids.
All I hear is you're adding, I hear adding things, but I'm not tracking if anything's subtracted during that time, but okay.
Not yet.
Oh, two kids. Yeah, you betcha. Okay. Yeah, why not? Throw that in the mix. Yeah. Okay.
Two kids, threw that in the mix, went back to night school as well. Did a little bit of everything, but I got through it and I was better for it. And that was what really helped me save the money teaching those continuing education courses throughout the country. Really helped me two things, both to save some money and also to get a better sense of how I was going to do this, how I was going to open a business, what I was going to do, how I was going to do it. And I learned so much from all the other therapists. Mm-hmm. I learned so much from all the other physical therapists, occupational therapists. It was eye-opening all across the country. So I really appreciated that. And then it was really in 2008 that I got serious about opening. I incorporated, of course, you know, the banks don't want to give you any money because you're just a small business. Mm. I wrote a business plan. I found a template.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Wrote a crappy business plan.
you know, they're all crap. I mean, I'm not even trying to be funny because you plan what you know, which is you never know less about how something's going to go than when it's starting up. Like it's just,
you absolutely,
most of it's not known. Yeah.
You just don't know. And of course the banks, you know, they're like, well, sorry, we can't help you. But we did have a friend who knew a president of a small bank who came in, checked out the space I was looking at renting, looked at my stuff and gave me a small equipment loan for like $18,000. And that helped to be able to buy the equipment so that I can open up. And it was a very, very small place. I don't know, maybe 1,000 square feet, if that. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little less. At that time, I did take on a business partner who was a friend of mine, but I knew that wouldn't be long-term, but we worked very well together. And he taught me a lot as well. So, you know, just knowing that he wouldn't be in it for more than a couple of years was fine with me because at that point, again, we opened in 2008. And by February of 2011, he was leaving the practice. His wife was having a second child. We worked 11, 12 hours a day. It just wasn't going to work. So
yeah, but you did all that. I mean, I don't know.
I don't
you
know.
Kept going. Oh, this guy sounds lazy.
I know.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
So lazy. So it just kind of worked out. And it was fine. I mean, we ended on good terms. It worked out better for me because I knew I wanted to go in a whole direction. I had a vision that I don't think he had that same vision. He didn't share that same vision. We, again, everything was copacetic. We had no issues. We parted on good terms, but I did have a different vision of how I wanted to expand the business and what I wanted to do. Did I know how I was going to do that? Absolutely not. I don't know. You know, maybe
that's not the point of a vision, though. As decisions come along, the vision helps you decide, does that make sense or not? Does it fit the vision or not? And that's
helps you make the plan.
Correct. Vision, you know, has to come before the plan because the plan, yep, has to fit the vision. And I got to tell you, I mean, as I'm listening to you, there's the business side too. I mean, you've said a lot of good things, market research, a vision, going slow, you know, man, oh man, I, you know, you, so many don't do these things. You know, it's sort of ringing in a prayer, and there's always that element of it. But you know, they think and they know I'm good at treating patients, therefore everything else will work out. Maybe back in a day, but not today.
Not so
keep
much
going,
today.
But like, you've got the business side too, I can already tell.
It was not easy because I had no business background. There was nothing in my background that said business, right? It was all
therapy.
But
there's like, shouldn't I know a few of these things? And you clearly have the instinct, even if the training wasn't there, like the instinct clearly was. So yeah, keep going.
I did the market research. I knew the area I wanted to be in. That's the other thing in business. Like, you have to think about where do I open?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look at the average income of an area, what's surrounding it. You have to do that market research.
Mm-hmm.
So that part I did. Later, of course, multiple other large companies moved into my downtown area, but I knew that was coming.
I was first mover. There's a reason it's called first mover advantage. It's not called first mover neutrality or disadvantage. It's an advantage.
Yes. So I stayed in that whole downtown area, but I moved two more times into bigger spaces, into the space we now have now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much larger space. It's got a lower level, which has allowed us to expand into all these other services. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, it's really grown like a snail. You know what I mean? It's very slow moving. So even
that's
when
right.
I first started, I was still working at a fitness center. I was still picking up weekends at a nursing home to make money, because you're not making any money at that point, but
mm-hmm.
that's what you have to do to be successful. It doesn't come in a blink,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't come without really, really hard work and dedication.
No. And you know, you look at the largest global companies today, like Nvidia. Nvidia is huge in AI chips, you know, for computing. They were around for like 15 years before that. Nobody ever heard of them. They started with gaming chips because gaming had high computing needs. And then I think it's that somebody in Google grabbed a couple of their chips to try out something because they knew they were there, but for AI computing, not for gaming. But you know, so you're sort of go slow to go fast, or however you want to say it. It's really huge. And you know, it's funny, like, if dear listener, if you want a gut check on how strong your core is, go try Pilates. I tried it once thinking I got this. And like literally 9 seconds in, I was sweating and bored, because you have to sit there. Like, I guess it's not that great. So, but combining them makes a ton of sense. Like,
it
just, and with other things too, it's like, near where I am, there's a chiropractor I go to, but half of it's PT, because it's like, you know, if you're not strengthening the problem area, you're gonna be right back here. And it just makes a lot of sense.
It does. So yeah, I mean, you know, you can reduce pain, but you also have to fix the problem.
Gotta fix the problem. Yeah.
That's where the physical therapy portion comes into those things. I made you feel better, but now we actually have to get to the root of the cause, if we can, mm-hmm. And make that better, or at least do our best to make everything else surrounding it better if you can't change it.
Yeah, so that it lasts and you learn good habits and we never see you again, sort of thing. So we're talking about building a patient referral system systematically, building a system for it, really. When did you realize that a system was needed? There would be a good move for this. I mean, we could talk about any area of the practice, but we're talking about this. So when did it hit you? You know, we need to be really good at this, at getting patients to tell their friends and family and such to come see us.
I think pretty early on, that was something. I mean, initially I did know some physicians. They did send me some people, but very early on, I recognized that it was the patients that were telling other people about us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, building that relationship directly with the client or the patient was really the first thing that made me realize we have to have a system in place. And even just in the business sense, you know, without a system in place for how you handle the intake, when they, you know, we'll say when they first call, if how we schedule people, if you don't have some kind of even these little systems in place, mm-hmm. it's just chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not even organized chaos, which is different. So,
which may be harder to achieve than natural chaos. Yeah, I mean,
it's much harder. So I want to say it was 4 or 5 years in when I was moving into my second space, which was a little bit bigger. I knew I was going to expand some of the wellness services or the fitness in terms of the Pilates and the massage. So, and I wanted to continue building that patient base, but I needed to get people to know us, to know me, to know who we are, what we do, why we do it, and why we're different.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if they don't know you and they don't like you, and they don't trust you, they're not going to come to you.
Yeah.
And so it was really that made me decide I got to have more systems in place. And I actually did do an entire course out in California with my daughter at the time, who was home from college for summer, and she wanted to be our first patient care coordinator. She needed a job. So I made her sign a contract and everything. I held her, you know.
Tell you what,
I held her to the word.
Listeners, and there's just this general good business instincts here. I'm serious. Like you.
Yeah, you know, because I said, when we're at work, I'm your boss, I'm not your mother. So you can't, you know, you can't be arguing with me. You can't have your opinion about, you know, what you're going to do and how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But she did. She came to the training with me. And then we developed more systems from there. I actually worked with a private practice owner who had started a company for other private practice owners, and they were working on systems as well. We had systems, but I wanted to build those systems.
Yeah.
And I knew that they would be beneficial. And that's what really helped us continue to build that relationship and the referral system internally and externally with our patients and our clients.
Yeah. So have you ever heard that why this book is so difficult to find out? It's called Work the System by Sam Carpenter. And the part, it's all about, it's fantastic. And one of the comments, they have these sort of guiding principles, like, you know, in the back of it that they would use. And one of them was, we are not firefighters, we are fire prevention experts. And the way in which we do that is through good systems. And just to, you know, I wonder if any listeners are feeling this way, you can hear the word system and think it's this very large, hard to do. It doesn't have to be. A system can be three steps. It just means when X happens,
exactly,
this is the way we do it. And and a system is also not etched in stone, never to be changed. You might think that here's the four steps. And then one day somebody says, you know, step three, we actually don't need. Let's kill it. Now it's down to three steps. You know, it's exactly. it's just, it brings, things are smoother. Everything about a system is good. They're smooth. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do. The patient has a better experience. Like it's really, it's got a goal. It's got its place. They're documented. Yeah. And so for your system, for patient referrals, what are the core elements of it?
So really the core elements of our system, it's kind of, I like to think of it like a little triangle, right? And it really starts with that first touch point, which is your front desk. Mm-hmm. So because people, they might be looking at your website, they might be doing all those things, sort of exploring who you are. But the first thing is really that when they call or they email, that's sometimes that happens, but you know, from a contact page on your website, but most of the time in medicine, they're calling and they're asking questions. So for that, our front desk people who are our patient care coordinators, they really have to understand what to do, what to say, how to say it, how to explain things to patients. And it has to be a good experience for the patient and it has to go smoothly. And you have to touch on all the information that they really need to know so that they're feeling more comfortable through this process. So it really starts with that very first touch point. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we actually send out an email with all that same information, with registration papers, giving them directions. And you know, our next touch point is actually we have a liaison who calls each new evaluation the day before just to confirm. We also do a day after eval checkup just to make sure everything went smoothly. So again, that's that very first step. So there, obviously the second step after that is meeting the therapist and the staff. And that's where we have a same thing. We have a system in place for how we do the evaluation and what we want to make sure we touch on through that evaluation.
If it were me, let's say, am I a patient at this point? When you say evaluation, I wonder, are we just sort of checking each other out? Am I still deciding if I want to become a patient? What is that? When you say that, what do you mean?
So then they're a patient. So, but they don't have to be, right? So they can, when they first call, if they're not really sure what they want to do, and we see this often, and it's sometimes just because they've had funky experiences somewhere else, we'll say, well, you can just come in and do a free consult. And we'll set aside, you know, 20 minutes, a half hour of our time, essentially, that you can come in, we can sit down and talk, you could tell me what's going on, I can let you know if we can help you or not, or I can maybe help direct you to the right place to go or what to do. So they don't necessarily have to, but typically, if they're calling, they may or may not have a referral, or they're in enough pain or they're having enough issues that they're calling up and they're making their evaluation appointment.
Got it.
And we even, as a part of that evaluation, we do a written plan of care for the patient that is in layman's terms. Our plan of care is a medical plan of care. It's in our EMR system. It's in our documentation. But for the patient, we just have a little system where we do little check boxes. You know, you're presenting with A, B, C, this, this, this. Here's essentially how we're going to treat it. We're going to do this, this, and this. And then we say, we'd like to see you X number of times a week for this many weeks, and then we'll reassess you. You know, we have a cancellation policy. So within that form, they sign off on that cancellation policy, which is actually probably the second time they've signed off on it, because that's one of those things you have to repeat and repeat and repeat. Mm-hmm. But they sign that, the therapist signs it, and they bring that back up to the front desk to our patient care coordinators, who can then easily get them scheduled with that handwritten piece of paper that's a plan of care. And that gets them to stop. Otherwise, they can just walk out the door, or I'll call later. But then we don't have any idea what the plan is for that patient up at the front desk if we don't have that on how to schedule you.
Yeah.
So that just gives them that information. And then the experience kind of continues from there. We actually, again, as a part of our systems with this triangle, mm-hmm. now they're coming for their therapy. We look at, is there something else that could benefit them outside of just PT? Yeah. And that might be a trial for dry needling, a trial for the class 4 light laser therapy. So we will then do that for their pain or their inflammation or their issue to see if that's something that they would want to add to their physical therapy, because some of these things are not covered by insurance.
Sure. I mean, there's a couple of things you said there that I liked. One was, and they're not related to each other. One was, you start this, the idea of a referral starts on first contact. Mm-hmm. I think that's, I don't know how often that's, probably a lot, for every 10 people would say, yeah, that makes sense. Fewer than 10 pay attention to it the way that, you know, you and I would think that they should.
Yeah.
The other part that I like was the plain language part. I mean, I'm a layman, but I'm a slightly more educated layman because I work with this all day long. But even I'm stymied by, you're reading this thing going, I don't know. Like, I don't know what this says.
Yeah.
And so translate it. I mean, that's speaking their language. It's huge.
Right. Like, I got a patellofemoral, whatchamajiggy, what do I have? You know, knee pain.
I know my knee hurts, and I think I know what the word patella means, but the rest of it is just seriously. You know, and I'm not the kind of person to go home and look it up and be like, I'm not the kind of person who would say, couldn't they have just translated this for me? Like, seriously?
Exactly.
You know, I wonder what else is sort of, yeah. And is this all documented? Do you have this written down?
This is all documented, and it all gets scanned into the record.
No, I mean the system. Sorry, I wasn't clear.
Yes, the system is documented. That makes life a little bit easier. Again, we're often changing that system, and we're changing the procedure. But without those things, without having some policies, without having some procedures, without having systems in order, it makes it difficult for the staff and the patients and the clients to function well. So by having those things in place, even if you have to change them mm-hmm. from time to time, or however often you need to change them, it's still beneficial to have that information. And we do have it in writing, because even when we do our training for our front desk, there's a series of videos that they have. There's a manual that goes with it. That way they can look to that, like, what am I supposed to say here? Let me look. What am I? Okay. So you have to have that information ready for them. So
yes.
It's just much easier for them to handle.
So plus training. Now everybody's trained on pretty much the same way, which means there's always natural variability to a degree, but if you know, front
the
desk person, that's right. And so you get two front desk people, A and B, and A is a rock star and B is terrible. You now know some reasons why it should not be true, right? Which means you can isolate, what the hell's going on with B? I mean, are we confusing? You should be able to say, it can't be us. You can never quite say that, but it's probably not us because A got it. So what's going on with B? And there's all sorts of benefits to a system. And now we're just touching on you know, a couple. And how often do you look at this system and go, should we tweak this thing? Should we make it better? Is it as needed? Or do you, you know, once a quarter, once a year, we look at our system. I don't know. You know what I mean?
It's typically as needed, but there are times where you just notice that, you know, I mean, not that we don't look at them quarterly. We do. My managers and I meet on a weekly basis, and we do a monthly and a quarterly meeting. But, or sometimes, to be perfectly honest, that change comes from a patient complaint.
Oh, yeah. Suggestion. Okay. Yeah.
Because that will make me think, well, we could do this better, right? Like, even if you didn't do anything wrong, right? Even if somebody was upset about something and they didn't do any, we didn't do anything wrong on our end, it doesn't matter. The point is to look at what they're saying and that whatever that complaint or that suggestion is and saying, maybe we can tweak this a little bit and make this better to understand, easier to do. You know, just add this thing or take away that thing and we can make that system better.
Do you ever find a situation where a patient, you know, submits feedback X and you go, I think we're okay. You know, we heard this patient, but I actually don't think we need to change anything. The reason I ask is because, you know, you can customer service, patient experience, absolutely, but it doesn't mean you have to make a change for every last comment you hear. You know, do you ever, I guess, in a sense, reject, you know, the
yes.
feedback?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Because, you know, again, sometimes they're seeing it from their point of view, which is great because I want to know their point of view. But sometimes it's something you just know is not going to work for the practice overall or for your systems overall. And sometimes it's something you've already tried. And you're like, oh, I'm not going back there. That didn't work. You know, so that, yeah, there are times where it's like, you know, I understand that makes sense. Thanks for that information. Don't know if that's going to work for us right now, but, you know, but thank you for letting us know, or thank you for giving me, you know, that feedback. So there are times where, you know, they're like, well, why do you do this? And why do you do that? And why do I, you know, and that's totally fine because it just gives us more information and more feedback. But it doesn't mean necessarily that it's a system that has to change or a policy that has to change for that matter.
Fair enough. Yeah. So what parts of the system are you working on now, if any, or what do you think you're going to, and why?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm working on a whole online scheduling system for our Pilates, which is new for us, which again is sort of all the craze. People like to be able to go on, you know, click the link or get onto the app and then schedule, right? So we're kind of expanding our Pilates in terms of, you know, we do mostly privates and semi-privates, but we're working on doing some small group reformer classes, not like the large companies. We really could only accommodate like 3 to 5 in a group, but we're working on that system now where we will be able to hopefully actually have it live in the next like 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that way they'll be able to start booking their packages or their subscriptions or these other self-paced services that we have online, which is good for two reasons. People like it and it's easy for them to do. And it's actually easier for us because it's not us constantly answering the phone, making a change.
Correct.
Right. So, and we're working on the back end now. Like they give you this system, you have to put in all your information. You have to put in the classes, make the descriptions, the packages. It's fun.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But we're getting it done. And actually, I'm hoping to essentially have it pretty much ready to at least get started by early next week. We still have to embed it into the website, but that's the systems we're currently working on. And then if that goes over well, we will extend that to our personal training services, to our massage services, and maybe even to like our dry needling and classwork light therapy services.
Hmm. That's exciting. Yeah. I mean, because nobody wants to do anything from 9 to 5 anymore. You know, it's 10:30 and I'm like, oh, I got a schedule. And now you can. I call the next day. Oh, you know, I can just go online right now and get it done. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. I've got about 75% prepared. And so I'm hoping to kind of have it pretty much in order by the end of this week and then see about getting it embedded next week and then going live with the system. So that's a system, you know, again, it's a whole different type of system. Mm-hmm. But it's another system that will help alleviate our scheduling and canceling and rescheduling on our whole Pilates end of our scheduling system.
Are you going to have reminders? Hey, your class is tomorrow.
And yes.
It built,
a lot of that will be automated.
You
know, so, you know, their payments will be automated. Their package will be automated. They could book their class. They'll get their reminders.
Type C to confirm. I just had a specialist visit last week and I got 3 or 4 texts. And you know, what's funny is now I'm so conditioned just to, you know, only pay attention to the 3rd or 4th one. Cause I know more are coming. It's so stupid. You can't beat this, but I now know I have to look because the 1st or 2nd one says type C to confirm. Like smart. Yeah. And, it's like a little out if anyway. So yeah, it's just an arms race that never goes away.
Yeah, it does. And it's it's very exciting, but it is, it again, it's a lot of work, and it's something that I've never had to pretty much put in, you know, back end information on a system like this. So I'm learning, my office manager is helping. But we'll get it all together, and then we'll work out the bugs.
Yeah, that's right. Have like a pilot phase of.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. We have covered a lot in this and not too much time. Is there anything about the system, anything we talked about, or that, anything you think we should have touched on we just didn't get to?
Let me see. I think basically if people are looking at, you know, the business side of it, they have to think about, again, your touch point of your referrals and how often are you going to touch that point. And that's where, again, the systems and the policies and the procedures come in. So we're a small business, but you have to still have those things that big business has in place. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're this large corporation that, you know, the person at the top doesn't know the person at the bottom. It just means that you're going to operate like any other company should operate in order to be successful.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because, again, a lot of times, particularly in physical therapy, we're not taught any of those things. And you think, well, if I just treat people, if I do a good job, they'll come. And that's not really true anymore.
That was true in like 1932 when there were like two PTs on the planet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Since then, though, it's been a bit competitive.
It's pretty competitive, depending on your market. I mean, we're in the Chicagoland area is a very competitive market, and there's lots of players out there. So your internal referrals and your word of mouth referrals are gold. Mm-hmm. We're probably about 70%.
Wow.
And because we do orthopedics, we do vestibular, we do pelvic floor. So we do get referrals from physicians on the pelvic floor side, but on the orthopedic side, it is primarily word of mouth, internal referral, online, you know, people find your reviews. So you've got to think about all of those things when you're, whether you've jumped into the business or you're planning on it, you've got to think about those things. And it's definitely about building those relationships with your patients and your clients, your staff too, of course.
Yeah.
Forget them, because without having relationships with your staff, who would want to work for you?
Yeah.
So, but in terms of your patients and your clients, they want that relationship. Mm-hmm. When they walk in the door, if I say, you know, hey Janet, how's it going? How's so and so? What happened with your mother? Like there is something to that personal relationship.
Yeah.
That's something I think that is probably different in a smaller private practice versus these large conglomerate practices that we have now. It's the relationship.
Yeah. And you know, even another point about big business, dear listener, having a system for something is not only for big business. All it is, just, you know, look around your practice and just pick anything that just seems to run well. I don't know. It's opening in the morning. It could be something, and it just seems to run well. Everybody knows what to do. There's no confusion. It's highly repetitive. That's a system, even if you haven't written it down. That's all we're talking about here. And anybody can do it. You could be a solopreneur and do it. You can have 5,000 employees and do it. The other point that you made is that what is difficult for a big business to do is to build that kind of relationship. There are, if you just look at, you know, my competitors are all large. They're going to step on me and crush me. No, they won't. First of all, it would have happened by now, and it hasn't. Right. And the reason is because you can do things they cannot do. You can move faster. You can get closer. You can have systems for where they're necessary. Sometimes the larger guys are over bureaucratized. You do not have to be, but I just don't want anybody to think, oh, system, that's big. We're not big. We shouldn't do that. It's the opposite. All a system does is it takes the guesswork out and makes things really effective for whoever it's touching and more efficient, which I don't care if you're solo or 5,000, you need efficiency, because the opposite of efficiency is cost, and you're just going to bleed yourself out of business.
Exactly. That is so true.
Get rid of the chaos. And they don't have to be 15 pages. How many steps does this referral system we've been talking about have for you?
Really just a few. It's again, the intake, and it's the process from the evaluation, and it's the plan of care. And then from there, it's the therapy, you know? So it's.
So there's a couple of sub steps in there, but I bet you if you documented, it's less than a page, right? To document it all.
Correct.
Step yes. one, step two, step three, da, 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 da. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. So if somebody wanted to build this for themselves, the context of this question is, you know, a listener says, you know what, she's right. We need to do this, but it can feel large and foreign. What's something super simple you'd recommend they do just to get started, get off the starting line and get started towards, you know, down the path of they're building a system or they've built something, you know, a simple system for them. What would you say?
Honestly, the best way to build that simple system is to just start out and think about and write it down. Type it out, write it down. Mm-hmm. All right, so how did we do this? How are we doing this now? They're calling, we're doing A, B, and C, or we're only doing this, and sometimes we're doing that. And then look at what's really working the best. And mm-hmm. really just write down some basic, simple key points or some key steps that you know will make sense in order to make that process run better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And you can always build from there, because once you start actually putting it on paper, you will start to see yourself building that system much more easily than if you just have it in your head.
Yep.
It's okay to have it in your head, but eventually you do want to, you know, it's like anything, whether it's a vision or a plan, you want to write those steps down so that you can see it.
Yeah.
And when you can see it, it will help you build it.
Yeah. I mean, you could pick this, you could pick something else. It's the only thing that just pick something that's repetitive. So
yes.
You don't want to, there's no point in running a system for something that you only do once.
Exactly.
So pick something, pick the most painful part of your day that's repetitive. You're like, oh, really? Maybe you could systematize that and just maybe right. bring some order to the chaos.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Man, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. It feels like a simple topic, but it's really not. It's very powerful. So I really appreciate you coming on and telling our listeners all about it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This is just great. And I hope it helps somebody. I hope it helps them in their process. And if they're looking to get started in whether it's a physical therapy or healthcare business, you know, to think about those things and don't overthink it. Just go one step at a time, because it could be daunting if I think about all these things that have to be done in order to make this happen.
Yeah.
Again, you start basically with your vision or your thought process, and then you kind of start making a plan off of that.
Yep. Yep. Totally agree. I know it's going to help somebody. We're never probably going to know who that is. We just have faith, but it's very practical information. So good. So, all right, you gave us contact information, which are going to go into the show notes for your episode. So listeners, if you want to get a hold of Mary Lou or find out more about her, just go to the show notes and you'll find her contact information. Two other points before we wrap up. First, if you are Mary Lou, you're a private practice owner, or you're like us and you seek to serve them, either way, you've got some experience on the business side of private practice, and don't overthink what that is. You might think it's simple, it's stupid, who would care? I promise you, if you've figured something out, there's 15,000 billion other people who have not yet and are struggling with it. Come on Practice Care. There's a link in the show notes to every episode. A couple of clicks, take you a minute, tell us what's on your mind, and we'll get you scheduled as soon as possible. And also Practice Care, one word, subscribe to Practice Care. Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you listen to podcasts, we're easy to find. Subscribe, because we do a new episode every week, and that's the easiest way to stay up to date. Thanks very much, and until next time.
Thank you for listening to Practice Care with Carl White. Make sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss another episode. You can find our guest contact information in the show notes. Stay tuned for the next episode.